all this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Welcome to WorldCast. This is, why are you hearing my voice, you may ask. That's strange. Well, I'm here, obviously, Kelly Nelson, and Johnny Soros here.
Yes, I
am. Say hi, Johnny.
Hi. Hi, Johnny. but, yeah, we might as well get to it. Our partner, Pete, who normally opens the show and hosts the proceedings, had a little bit of an accident on New Year's Eve, you know, and... You know, apparently Will came into town and they were checking out all their DVDs, having a few drinks. They got to wrestling, apparently, and about 7 million wrestling DVDs toppled on top of both of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. They got, after a couple of days, you know, they had to get a construction crew in there.
Oh, Jesus.
And, yeah, a forklift, the whole nine yards.
It's happened before. Yeah.
I know, you know, but this time, you know, they got Pete out, but he's recuperating for the next 2 weeks. Will, they're still looking for. You know, they haven't found him yet, but, you know, they're right at it. It's like the mantles of the earth, you know, just the crust of. They're right at the AWA. So they got a lot to get through, but hopefully, you know, we're sending out all our good wishes and our good feelings that we'll make it out okay. But Pete will not be with us for the next 2 weeks, but then he'll be back better than ever.
Get well, Pete. And yeah, you got to dig Will out. He's got to get back to school. He's got to teach the youth of America history, right?
And, so. Well, or whatever he's doing now.
So it's just the two of us, and I guess we'll do two episodes. We'll do WCCW 70 and 71. Two-part. Yeah, because this won't take too long with just the two of us, I don't think.
Well, yeah, says the guy who is, you and I hosted a podcast that usually ran about 4.5 hours long. So
right, but that's when we were trying to like discuss the history of Spider-Man in the 1960s, right. And that takes some time.
That show was called Imaginary Stories. It's still available. Out there on all your podcast listening devices.
It's out there somewhere. 10 episodes, solid 10. And you never know. It may make a comeback, but with a different name, I believe, if it does. Okay, so the first one we're looking at, April 30th, 1983. And my first note is about the opening and how outdated it is now. Like, it's the Walking Dead of wrestlers that were in the territory. We have good old Al's featured, Kabuki, Bugsy, Hussein, who's still around but is not as prominent as he used to be. Bill Irwin, I think, is kind of
he's still there,
I guess, but he hasn't been on TV in a while, or it seems like it's been a while. So they desperately need to update that opening because it's mostly guys that aren't with the territory anymore. And so we start with Bill Mercer. As is like the typical start now, him in the booth there.
Yeah.
And he's joined by David and the Iceman.
Oh, my God.
And Johnny, tell us about this.
So first of all, apparently David has the Texas belt back already. It's like, I mean, we mentioned it, but it's like, again, it's like he just lost it and he's got it back already. But so they're talking about the tag team that match they're going to be having against the Freebirds. And fucking David is like, well, David, how you feel about tag teaming with the Iceman? And David kind of looking over the Iceman, he's like, well, you know, I never done this before. Done what before? Tag team? Like, oh, wait. He's like, yeah, Iceman here, you know, he's got a different style. I was like, I thought he was about to say skin color. He's literally saying, I've never tagged with a black guy before, is basically what he's saying here. It's fucking hilarious. I burst out laughing. Then Iceman's cutting a cool little promo, and Bill's trying to cut him off. He's like, oh, yeah. Finally, he's like, we gotta go. You know, like, don't pull the microphone away from the fucking Iceman, you douchebag. He's good on the mic. He's fun.
Yeah, it was a little too much black for Mercer to handle.
Yeah, it was too much.
Did you notice how when they came in, Mercer went for the handshake on David, and he didn't get it, so instead he just patted David on the ass.
No, I didn't.
I thought for sure you would have noticed that one.
Well, you want to shake my hand? Fine. I'm going to grab your ass?
It was awkward. Everything Mercer does these days is pretty awkward. Yeah. So anyway, our first match is Chris Adams versus the Mongol, a rivalry that's spanned the globe apparently already. And it's in Dallas now. I guess without Pete here, we'll keep the same order. I'll do my review and then Johnny can give his thoughts. So my first note is, why does Mark Lawrence have a headset on?
I have the same
ring introductions.
I have the same note.
I knew you'd have that note too.
He's got a headset. Why? He's got a headset with a microphone.
Yeah.
And a microphone in doing ring announcing. It baffled me.
And he does it throughout this taping and also the next show.
I want to hear myself.
I don't know. It's weird. So here we go. Let's see. It started off not bad. They were throwing fists, bombs at each other. But then the Mongol quickly clamps on a headlock. So it slowed things down, but it didn't last too long. Adams had a lot of fire, and he starts throwing super kicks like it's 2015, and it's the Young Bucks having a super kick party, one after the next. The crowd was totally popping for them. He tries to give the Mongol a body slam at one point.
Boy.
That looked ugly. No cooperation from the Mongol. Ugh. Adams had to basically deadlift him up.
It's like deadlifting a giant sack of shit.
Yeah, the Mongol stinks. And we get a non-finish, basically. Adams is tossed over the top rope for a DQ. And then, but Adams does nail him with a huge missile dropkick, another cool move that was pretty new at the time, for at least for the Dallas audience.
Mm-hmm.
Slugfest after the bell, multiple refs come to break it up. Yeah, it wasn't much of a match, but Adams is definitely over already with the crowd. Has good fire and has flashy moves, so yeah, we can see why he's going to be a pretty big star to come. But yeah, the Mongol, ugly. Johnny, what'd you think?
This sucked. You're right about Chris Adams. I mean, but the Mongol's just fucking awful. And then when you realize they're stretching this out, this isn't going to be one and done, I'm like, oh, God. You know, maybe that can happen in Fort Worth and we don't have to fucking watch it. At one point, I mean, so it takes two super kicks, a body slam, and another super kick, and another super kick, and it's still not over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now, I know maybe this hasn't been established as his finisher yet, but what the fuck? The Mongol sucks. He's awful. And Mercer again goes to the well of, like, he looks like an all-American boy, but he's actually an all-English boy, and that would be Chris Adams. He's from England. Chris Adams? Englishman. Okay. I just wrote was P-U. This sucked. Stunk. Hated it.
Yeah, for me, the only interesting thing is watching Chris Adams from the very beginning and seeing him develop. And how it, like, because no one talks about this Chris Adams who just arrived with short hair. Oh, and by the way, I looked up.
Yeah, what was it?
He lost a hair match to Rip Oliver in Portland, not Buddy Rose. So there was a twist there. But he did indeed lose a hair match in early Portland. March.
Okay, you know,
in
that's, Portland. I got to tell you, that's some impressive deductive work on you and Pete's part on that one. Where was he before? Portland. He must have lost a haircut match. Who might it have been? You got every detail right except who the match was.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I know. Well, we're super geeks. But yeah, I know. I mean, as soon as we thought about Portland, and then, yeah.
Holmes and Watson of the wrestling podcast world.
Yeah, we just didn't get the culprit. We didn't get the man who, the hair, but we were close. So, yeah, that otherwise, yeah, the Mongol. And we're going to have to put up with the Mongol for most of 1983, too.
Oh, that's just it. We're so excited for everything. And then, you know, that's just like somewhere Fritz from Beyond the Grave. Nope. Getting the Mongol too. Yeah.
Well, see, the good thing about history is you can research Portland's, you know, figure out the hair thing.
There you go.
The bad thing about history is you look ahead and see, oh, there's 4 pages of results for the Mongol in 1983. Oh, God. Anyway, so next we have Chavo Guerrero with an interview. Johnny, please explain this one.
Oh, so Chavo's out there for an interview with Mercer at ringside, and he's in a Charo outfit.
Yeah,
and he explains the history of that. The Charos are Mexican cowboys, you know, who actually predated the American cowboys. And by the way, I'm from Texas. You know, I was born in Mexico, and I live in Texas now. Then I'm looking at sweet outfit, and Bill's very impressed by it. And did he mention that he was from Texas and he really wants to succeed here in Texas? And then I noticed that he had a sweet belt buckle on there, man. It looked really cool. And by the way, did I mention that he's from Texas? Chavo lays it on thick. He knows what he's doing, you know, but he lays it on thick, you know, that he's from Texas and he wants to succeed in Texas, and that's why he's there. And then Bill, I actually found this interesting. I'll give Bill Mercer credit because he's very fascinated by the outfit. And he says, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing this wrong, he goes, oh, yes, I attended a Chadabra?
Yeah,
And Chavo goes, oh, yes, a Mexican rodeo. And he's like, oh, yes, it was delightful. I had a wonderful time. I'm like, no, that's okay. You know, I kind of like that. Then he turns to the camera and says, coming up next, Gorgeous Jim Galvin.
Galvin.
I thought he had it sounded like he had a stroke. He went like, or was doing a Jerry Lewis impersonation. He got, is it gorgeous? He forgot it in the middle and came out with Galvin. And he's like, Gorgeous Jim Galvin. I laughed. I had to pause it. I laughed. No shit. I laughed solid 2 minutes out loud, crying, laughing. I rewound it 3 times. Galvin. It's fucking great. And then when they come back from the commercial, he says it again.
I know, twice.
George's getting Galvin's in the ring. Yes, but then Galvin. And then he pauses somewhere. Fritz is screaming at him somewhere. It's Garvin, damn it. And he goes, oh, yes, Garvin. He corrects himself and then proceeds to not be able to. He's trying to decide how to pronounce Guerrero. And he's going with Guerrero, and sometimes Guerrero, and he can't make up his mind, but he's really leaning towards Guerrero because he's Bill fucking Mercer, and he sucks. I laughed my ass off.
So did I.
Galvin.
It's not like he just debuted Gorgeous Jimmy just a week before or something. He's been there for a couple of months.
He's interviewed him.
He interviewed him and talked about him so many times, and he suddenly forgets. Oh my God, Bill Mercer. So the match is Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin versus Chavo Guerrero, and I love the disrobing routine.
Oh yeah,
that
hey,
Garvin and
hey sunshine. Take off my gloves. My hands are getting sweaty, and I don't want sweaty hands.
Yes. I love Garvin's comments that the mic picks up. when he's in the ring. Those have been a highlight week after week. He's so good. Yeah, the full strip. He even has the shorts over his shorts.
Yeah, the gym shorts. He goes, let's show him something really good. And then his cousin proceeds to pull his jockey shorts down with his face right in front of his cock.
Oh, man. And I know Johnny, you're not too high on Sunshine, but I love her. I think
she's... I love her. Great. No, I love her as a performer. But, you know...
You just don't think she's a hot chick.
I don't want to say that or anything, but the conversation would always go to, who'd you find more attractive, Sunshine or Precious? And I'm like, Precious, definitely his actual wife. And Sunshine, I never thought, she never did it for me. I think she's a hell of a performer.
Mm-hmm.
She's an outstanding performer, but
yeah,
that's it.
No, I really like both. Sunshine, yeah. And you can see later Mark Lawrence is checking out Sunshine.
Of course he was. You know, and then he went and he beat himself with a stick because bad boy, he's flagellating himself like a 12th century monk.
Yeah, no, the camera picks it up at the perfect moment where he's giving this great look to her.
Did you notice I have two microphones?
That's why he was wearing it. Maybe Sunshine will think I'm cool if I wear that headset all the time.
Hey, how you doing, Sunshine? I'm just multitasking. I do a lot around here.
We got to get a picture of that and post it. It's awesome. Of Lawrence with the microphone and the headset thing. So the heat for this match was awesome.
Totally.
The fans hate Garvin, of course. Sunshine's great on the outside, riling up the crowd, and the camera keeps focusing on her throughout, showing emotion. You know, she's either happy when Jimmy's on top, or she's concerned, and she's really good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just back and forth between joy and concern. And yeah, this was a decent little match. Of course, there was another
sounds like my marriage. Just back and forth between joy and concern.
Time limit draw, but one of the better time limit draws.
Yes, definitely.
You didn't feel like, at the end. No, this one was good throughout. You beat either guy at this point. And then after the match, Sunshine gets in Chavo's face, which... The crowd really responded to that.
Yeah, and Mercer's like, oh, she's asking for another spanking. No, she's not. She's not asking to be assaulted by that man. She's just giving her a piece of his mind.
I like seeing her being feisty like that. And, you know, she's not afraid of any man. Yeah. So, yeah, I like this match a lot. How about you, Johnny?
I loved it. I thought Chavo was just in there stealing the show. It's so funny knowing that he's only going to be around for a minute.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But, he is there to impress because he's doing so much original looking shit that he gets Garvin in some kind of surfboard, whatever or not. And Garvin says, the microphone picks it up and it was great. He goes, where does he get this shit? And they bleep shit.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I'd like to think he was saying it. He's just doing what, you know, he's a professional wrestler. He's, you know, how to move. He's like, maybe he was just talking to the referee. Where did he get all this shit? I've never done this before. Because he was pulling out some fancy moves. And yeah, this might be the only draw that I've liked. I didn't mind this one because it was action packed. The crowd was hot. Chavo was ultimate fucking badass, good guy. And Garvin was a stinky heel who is not a good wrestler, and you know, as the other guy, and so he cheats. I love it. This was a really fun match.
Yeah. No, there haven't been too many good time limit draws, but yeah, this one was good because both guys were working their asses off. It was a nice match. Good chemistry between them too.
Maybe that's why he only stuck around for a little while. You know, I was like, "What are you doing in there? You're working too hard."
Yeah, you never know. I wonder what the story was, actually.
You can't, look more impressive than a Von Erich. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my. Next up, we have another, actually, a good match. I mean, it's totally different than the preceding one, but know, the way they worked it was to perfection, I thought. So it's a handicap match, and it's on one side we have the Ugandan giant Kamala, new to the territory, just his second match, totally fresh, new, the crowd is in awe of him. He's going against Armand Hussein's awesome team.
He's two and best.
I never thought we'd see this man again, but second week in a row we get Bill Rathke.
Bill Rathke's back, baby.
Pure jobber Bill Rathke. Can't click on his name on Wrestling Data, so I have no idea his story. And the man formerly known as Roberto Renesto, we have Tom Renesto Jr.
Yes. Yes.
What a team.
Because, you know, Armand Hussein presents.
Yes.
Rathke and Renesto. The real R&R Express.
Yes. It's the original R&R.
The original R&R Express. And I'm just thinking, because didn't he tell Rathke last week, like, this is your only chance to get into my prestigious organization. Kamala. So I guess he's giving him another chance.
Well, with that hat, you know, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. It is so a nice I'll give hat. You one more chance.
Of course. And bringing in Renesto. They even, Mercer even says at the end, after Kamala's decimating them, I'll talk about that in a second. He had his two best in there against Kamala.
Oh, God.
See, I made it clear how much I can't stand Hussein. I love this. I'm loving just the slow decline of Armand Hussein, that he can only get to, all he's got is Yatsu, who's not going to be around, and these two guys.
And jobbers.
And these two guys, and he's begging them, come on. It's so embarrassing for the character. I'm enjoying it. I find it funny. And another thing I found funny, therefore, the crowd, this is a world-class crowd, who do you think they're going to cheer for in this fucking match? Not Renesto and Rathke, and with Hussein, they start cheering for Kamala.
Yeah.
When he does the double noggin knocker, that's a babyface move, and that crowd pops for it. Why wouldn't you? Look at Kamala. He's awesome. He's amazing. Oh. And these two jackets. So you're seeing Kamala getting babyface reactions here, which is fascinating.
Yeah. Oh. I found that fascinating, too.
Oh, and Friday is awesome. As stupid as the idea is in its own way, Friday here is awesome. This slow undressing of Kamala's ceremonial gear was amazing. His character work with Kamala's character work was fascinating to watch, as he's slowly getting everything off of him, the necklaces and the mask and the earrings. And he's got the hook in it. The loop in his nose, the ring in his nose. Mm. And it looks like Kamala's getting ready to start. And then Friday goes, no, I need to get this. And Kamala's like, oh, yeah. You know, which is awesome. It's a nice little touch, you know, And Mercer's like, oh, for a minute, it looked like he was going to wrestle with that in his nose. And that's probably a good idea, because imagine you could just hook him and lead him around the ring. What, like a cow? But, yeah, I'm popping for Friday here. And I'm going to pop for him some more. Coming up later, because we got the Friday Fashion Report coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Love it.
He does change it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the fashion in the territory is getting good, because we've got the Michael Hayes Fashion Watch, too. Yeah,
Friday,
too. Friday Fashion Watch, that's even better. this was great, because Kamala just kicks the shit out of both guys, and it's a great spectacle. He doesn't sell anything. The crowd is, like I've said multiple times, just in awe of Kamala. And yeah, I mean, he's an ass kicker. And then the crowd's starting, and you know, he's going against these two jobbers, so you know,
managed by a villain.
Yeah.
And the other bad guy manager, he ain't doing nothing. But so you just got this awesome new character who's beating up two bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, and not cheating. He's not cheating.
That's true. It was just pure force. I thought this was a great squash. It's it's been 2 weeks and they're booking Kamala perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just going through my head thinking of how this could play out, because I know Kamala's around for a while, but I don't know the exact week to week, you know, booking and how it goes. So I'm just thinking of the different combinations and how they can book this. And it's interesting. Yeah, the undercard is being really well booked by the Candyman. That's for sure. Anything else to say about this squash?
Just that I enjoyed the hell out of it. And then afterwards, Akbar is on the microphone. And he's like, oh, where's Yatsu? We want Yatsu. And while he's cutting his promo, Kamala and Friday are off doing something else. So the Mongol is just standing there behind him during this promo, looking like the least intimidating big dumb goober with his dead eyes. Just staring at me, just with his stupid haircut. the Mongol. But
all right, main event time, and we got an interesting main event. It's the Iceman and David Von Erich against the rarest combination of the Freebirds.
Yes,
Michael Hayes and Buddy Roberts. Usually, it's either Hayes and Gordy or Gordy and Roberts. Very, very rare that it's Hayes and Roberts. So here we go. Garvin and Sunshine are at ringside. So I love how they're interlocking the feuds, and it makes it feel like, yeah, this is one big universe. It's I like that vibe. And we get a huge go home Freebirds chant before the start of the match. All these main events with the Freebirds in the last few months have been just smoking hot. Crowds just crazy about everything. The Iceman, of course, is super over. And yeah, this territory is really, really going places these days. This was a good one.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, fun match. Iceman gets a long shine on Buddy to start. And then Hayes plays the perfect chicken shit heel, avoiding getting in the ring at all costs. Fans start chanting, "We want Hayes, we want Hayes." And only when Buddy finally gets an advantage through cheating does he tag Hayes in. But that doesn't last too long. Hayes, or Iceman, quickly takes over. Crowd's red hot for Hayes taking a beating. Pure babyface ass kicking in this match for most of it. And we get a brawl with all four men near the end. And David gets knocked over the top rope. And then Garvin, of course, being at ringside, he's got the camera and he's got Sunshine filming things. They brought that gimmick back, which I thought was dead. But so it actually here, it serves to for the finish, because the camera is used as a foreign object to nail David.
Yeah, well, and since you mentioned it, when I first saw him, like, oh, they're doing the fucking camera bit again. I'm like, yeah, I guess they need to get some of Iceman because he's new. And But then, as you mentioned, since they use it as the camera shot on Dave, I'm like, oh, okay, then I'm fine with it. Good. Yeah. Well, as long as you hit someone over the head with it, good.
And the refs lost total control of the match at this point, misses everything. David gets tossed back in the ring and gets a pinned, tainted victory for the Birds. But, I really like the booking of this match. The baby face is dominated throughout, but the heels end up with the win at the end. Good stuff. Doesn't resolve anything, keeps things going. And yeah, super hot crowd. I really liked it. Johnny, you did too,
I imagine. Yeah, I love this. First of all, Iceman's ring entrance gear is fucking sweet. It is sweet. Looks cool. So you hear Garvin say to Sunshine, again, gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. If you break down the actual words that he's saying when he's just yelling, saying stuff in the ring and saying stuff at ringside, if you break it down, it doesn't always make the most sense, but it doesn't matter because it's just sound for the live crowd, really, and he's acting the right way. Yeah, so Sunshine's got the camera out. She's filming. And he's telling her, he's like, I want the best pictures this camera can take. Pictures? You're going to be in pictures, see? You know, pictures? What the fuck? And so as you say about the long shine, Iceman's in there a long time. He's in there a long time. And he's great, and he's exciting. David has not been in the match. He's not in the match for a long time. And Mercer says during this, he goes, "What a combination, Iceman and David are already." David hasn't even been in the match. What are you... And then he gets, breaks this one out. "The Iceman cometh now to do battle with Michael Hayes." Oh, shut up. I just wrote down, Iceman's doing all the work. And David finally tags in. I'm having a good time this. And David's outside. When he gets into it with Sunshine, he goes to fucking hit her. And not just hit her with the back of his hand. Which, and he looked like he's done that before. You know, that's like, bitch, I'm going to get you in the back of my hand. I just stopped myself. And I was like, oh boy, that's edgy. And, and yeah, as you mentioned, the ending was hot. The bad guys get a win. They use a weapon. You know, hot crowd. Loved it.
Yeah, really good stuff.
And then Mercer. Again, someone can answer this for us. Who is Monica Hunter and why? Because when he says goodbye, he says, "I'm Bill Mercer with Monica Hunter." Because she did have a little interview segment earlier that we both forgot about. I still don't understand why he has to mention her name. What's going on?
Well, they're trying to establish her as like a ringside reporter type thing, I guess. Yeah, who did she interview? It was very brief.
Don't remember. You know what it was? It was after the Chavo Garvin match, and it was real quick. And Garvin's frustrated because apparently he had film on Chavo. But yet he was completely out wrestled. I had film on him. I don't know what happened. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, they're still working through some things, definitely. They haven't perfected it completely.
I was fascinated about her. Because she's not good, there must be a reason she's there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it was a nepotism of some sort. Somebody.
It was something.
Yeah. Well. Who knows? Maybe I'll try digging something.
I'm trying to shame you into digging up a long extended history on Monica.
Yeah. Okay. You got me. I get you.
You want to give me something for Christmas, buddy? You give me a deep dive bio into Monica Hunter.
That's what I'll release on Christmas Day as a surprise episode. Just me reading a bio of Monica Hunter.
That would be a stocking stuffer for me. I'd listen to that Christmas morning with glee.
I'm only half joking. I may do that.
I know. That's why I'm happy. I'm hopeful.
Okay. So this was a good one. It was the usual mix of pretty.
Oh, bad I thought it was very entertaining. I had both of these shows we're going to talk about, the good and the bad. I had fun. I enjoyed the wrestling for the most part. I laughed my ass off. I think the only thing I downright hated was it. You know, even hating the Mongol got to be fun in a way. So I thought these were a stone blast. So I just want to mention that WorldCast, the very podcast you are listening to, is a member of the Pro Wrestling Only podcast family. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, other podcasts, match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, wrestling video games, and just basically anything and everything pro wrestling. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO forums. Remember message boards? They're still a thing. PWO has been around for over a decade and has over 2,000 registered members, 23 of whom actually post. And you can make it 24. You can make it 24, 25, 26. There's even an archive of, get this, 78 billion threads. 78 billion, that's right, 113 billion. And it's all free. Just go click on the homepage and type sorrow in the promo box for access to the match discussion archive, or for a deep dive in the microscope forum where the debates on microscopes are fucking riveting. And you can discuss more general topics from wrestling's past, present, and future, too. Check it all out at ProWrestlingOnly.com. Say, Kelly, what's coming up on that PWO podcast feed?
Well, Johnny,
we're starting off the new year just like we ended the last one with a lot of great shows. First up, check out the new Military Industrial Suplex. This time, Tom Batista is joined by pro wrestling fiction author Stevie Pearson, and the two discuss Stevie's book Real in Memphis, which is basically a fictional account of the Memphis territory back in the day. Psychology is Dead is back, and they're back in a big way. This is the third annual Deadies. Quentin and Timothy, they put Between the Sheets to shame, and they're going to talk for nine hours on the top 50 wrestlers of 2018. This is spread over three parts. And yeah, if you're unemployed or, you know, don't have a life or whatever, here you go. 9 hours of Psychology is Dead for you, baby. And on the new Greetings from Allentown, Peter Winson is doing something unique to start 2019. He's looking at the pilot episode of Learning the Ropes. This was a wrestling sitcom from the late 1980s, starring Lyle Alzado, former NFL player, as a teacher masquerading as a wrestler at night. And yeah, it was filmed mostly in Canada, I believe, and featured a bunch of guys from Crockett at the time, like the Road Warriors and Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and stuff. So, of course, Greetings from Allentown is always awesome. So this should be a hoot. Check it out. And if Pete is well enough, well, I guess he was. This was recorded before the tragic events of New Year's Eve. The new This Week in Wrestling, joined by his partner, as always, Timothy, and they're looking at MLW Fusion, they're looking at NXT UK, they're looking at regular NXT, breaking down the Gargano Black cage match from a few weeks back, and they're looking at the Trevor Lee versus ACH match from AAW's Unstoppable event from November 24th, 2018. Check it out. That you know, This Week in Wrestling is, of course, the best place for international and indie wrestling talk out there, podcast wise. And lastly, just to announce, in addition to iTunes, Google Play, all the different podcatcher apps, WorldCast and the entire Pro Wrestling Only feed are now available on Spotify. So yeah, if you're big into Spotify, if you like to listen to podcasts that way, it's now possible to listen to Pro Wrestling Only that way.
So we're going to keep on moving here. Now we're into May. This year is just going by in a blink of an eye. No. May 7th, WCCW 71. And at the beginning, we got Mercer talking about the main event with a video package set to some pretty sweet disco music.
Yeah, you know what? I mentioned it was, again, we saw this or heard this once before. It's obviously dubbed.
Yeah.
But it's period authentic dubbed, so yes. I didn't mind it.
Yeah. No, it's yeah, definitely good dub. I'm assuming maybe it was a popular song that they were using.
Something.
Maybe a famous disco track from the late 70s or something. Or something that they had to dub. Yeah.
It might have even been some like Ted Nugent song or something, but they picked something right. At least period specific. And I'm like, the music was something like I can imagine hearing that on some Memphis show.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, it totally worked. So we got a pretty big card here tonight.
Yeah.
And the first match is a pretty big match as far as how they built it for months.
Hallelujah.
Kamala versus Yatsu.
Oh,
and Yatsu's been built for months. He hasn't lost. He took out the Great Kabuki. You know, this whole you know, I wouldn't even call it a war anymore between Devastation Incorporated and H. The remnants, the sad, sad remnants of H&H, which were, you know, in 1982, that was the big stable. Now it's Armand Hussein.
See, because Gary Hart took the Incorporated as well. It's just H.
It's just H. Yeah. Hussein's got Yatsu, and he's got a couple of job guys, and he's got his whistle, and that's about all.
Well, he didn't have that for long. He almost didn't have that for long.
So, yeah, my note is a huge match to start the show as far as something they've built for months. And, yeah, I like this one. Kamala dominates Yatsu, but he's getting distracted by Hussein's whistle. And so he finally goes after Hussein, chases Hussein around. Hussein gets into the ring, and basically this becomes another handicap match. Kamala, being the savage, doesn't really understand the rules, splashes Hussein and tries to pin him.
He wants the whistle.
Yatsu brings in the kendo stick to use on Kamala. That ends up with a DQ finish. Kamala still no-sells everything. Yeah. Like, he no-sold everything Yatsu threw at him throughout the match.
Awesome.
And then Kamala goes on a rampage, basically. Throws Yatsu. David Manning gets tossed.
Yes! Woo!
Yes. And even Friday gets knocked down in the chaos by Kamala. Actually, the ref ruled this a double DQ. I don't know. I thought it was just a straight DQ, but whatever. Nothing settled, of course. It makes Kamala look even more dangerous. He can't be stopped. He can take on multiple people with ease. Nobody can stop him. But Yatsu wasn't beaten, so they can still run that. And yeah. Like I said, I really like this as far as it being like a next chapter in a story. Keep it going. And it's, they've continued to book Kamala super strong, really awesome. The crowd is totally getting behind him. Yeah, this has been another highlight for me. Totally. Johnny, your thoughts?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised the way this promotion works. That if we, is this the last time we see Yatsu and Hussein? Is this how they get rid of him? You know, because they could, even though it's a DQ, double DQ, whatever, doesn't matter. I mean, if they disappear tomorrow, you'd be like, okay, this makes sense. Kamala just destroys them.
Right.
Destroys them. A lot of people, excuse me, but, you know, no selling isn't always a bad thing. This is awesome. He's no selling the kendo stick. The only thing he's selling is the whistle, because... And that was awesome, too. Hussein's blowing his whistle, and Kamala's distracted. He's not attacking him for it at first. He's just going towards him, and he kind of wants it. He's interested. What is this magical device, this whistle? You know? And then I was like, I'm thinking, who came up with that? Because at first I thought it was a little just thing that they were going to do between the manager and him before he actually got involved in the match. And I'm like, so someone planned that. And I'm like, if that's the Candyman, hats off, because that's cool. Well, I'd like to think Kamala came up with it. You know, I know fucking Hussein didn't come up with it. No fucking way. But you got Mercer. So here's this call for Kamala coming to the ring. Again, to the music. From his cage outside the sportatorium walls, the sinister Kamala. His cage out. They keep him in a Kelly. I didn't know this. Apparently, they keep Kamala in a cage outside in the backyard of the sportatorium. That's where they keep him.
Just eat him and scraps.
And has he even remotely done anything sinister yet? I haven't seen him do one sinister thing yet. He's just come in the ring and beat the fuck out of people legally. Handicap matches, and maybe that's why he got mixed up. He figured, okay, these things are supposed to be handicap matches, right? So let me get this other guy in here, and I can pin him, right? You know, I imagine wrestling's kind of hard to understand if you've never done it before, you know. And Kamala is totally getting cheers here. Completely cheering. And I was also cheering for Friday in his G.I. Joe green and black camo version of his gear and the reverse colors of his mask. The black and white parts were reversed in his mask. And instead of the tan jungle explorer look, he was going with the camo with a different mask. And I popped for it. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm a big Friday fan now. I never thought I'd say that. And then he just kills Hussein, kills him dead, kills Hussein. Yahtzee's hitting him with the fucking stick. It don't work. This rules. He tosses fucking David Manning. I'm writing down Kamala is the number one baby face in this goddamn territory. He's mine. He's doing everything I want. We'll see. I want to see David Manning get tossed. I want to see Hussein get murdered. Good. You know, Kamala's my... He's my hero at this point. God, Kamala's so awesome. And Mercer gets in the call. He's like, Kamala's out there separating man, beast, and boy. And I'm like, well, Kamala's the beast. Pick who's the man. I know Manning's the boy. And love this. This was super entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. Kamala's super cool. I mean, they're slowly building up. Eventually, it'll be Kamala against the Von Erichs, of course. That's the only way you can book it, really, because otherwise Kamala will be cheered against any other babyface almost. But yeah, that's going to be a big match for whichever combination, all the different combinations.
I'd imagine if Chavo stuck around, he could easily be a super over babyface and they boo Kamala. But
Iceman. Iceman too.
But there's not, you're right. You know, you gotta make sure we don't want to turn him.
No, they're going to make, Kamala is definitely going straight to the main events. And the booking's been great so far. And yeah, so different from 1982, how the Candyman's building up all these guys. It's really, really impressive.
It's something.
And then we get more, more Akbar. This interview is weird.
It's,
to say the least.
It's something. Oh boy.
Yeah. Johnny, explain what we got here. Akbar,
Pete were with us and not recuperating in Houston General Hospital. I'm sorry, medical facility. That's what you're supposed to say in wrestling. we don't want fans actually showing up, you know. But Pete would say, as he said last week, he's like, and we agree, Devastation Incorporated not getting off to a good start.
No.
So we're at Akbar's estate again, and he's Mongol is standing beside him wearing what appears to be a big fuzzy bathrobe of some sort. I guess it's supposed to be skin or ceremonial it's garbage. He's the worst. And Akbar, I insist on eliminating Hussein and the Von Erichs, and I'm noticing, I'm like, did he accidentally shave off part of his mustache? Did you notice that? He's got a pencil-thin mustache, and there's a noticeable part missing in the middle. I was like, did Kurt Hennig come through this territory and zip, showed up? And then he's like, and there's another person. This made me laugh so much. I'm going to try to keep it together. There's another person here. He doesn't say him by name. Who has a most disgusting hair fashion. Oh, he's talking about Iceman. Yeah. And I've heard him like, or Kevin. Yeah, one or the other. And he's like, this person. And then he repeats himself. It's like he skips and repeats his lines twice, and then this man with the most disgusting hair fashion, it angers the Mongol because he's the only one to have a hair fashion of a warrior, and it mocks him. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And then he goes, but time is running out. Time is running out. And he picks up a fucking hourglass the size of the one from the end of The Wizard of Oz. And he turns, time's running out. And I'm just thinking, Auntie M. I mean, who directed this? Ed Wood? This is fucking... It's bafflingly entertaining in its awfulness.
Yes, it is like Ed Wood. Because it's...
Pull the strings! Pull the strings!
Yeah, it's so bad, it's good. It's almost the very definition of that. This shouldn't have made air because it's stupid and confusing. They don't even mention Iceman. Yes, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out who they're talking about.
But I won't even let his name pass my lips. My lips with a missing part of a mustache. It's that fucking Kurt Hennig.
Weird. And his dialogue is the choice of words is so strange. The offensive hair design, disgusting hair fashion.
He's trying to sound foreign-ish.
Yeah.
And he's just a dude from Texas. So that's what you get with Akbar. I love Akbar. He can be great, but this ain't it yet. He isn't doing it. He's cutting shitty promos and just standing at ringside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. It is a auspicious start for Devastation Incorporated, that's for sure. And then it doesn't get any better because we get the Mongol versus Mike Reed. And for the first time ever, I was planning on just writing my review of the match before it even happened.
I was like, this is when I start questioning the choices I've made in my life.
Yeah, so I wrote down "ugh" when I saw the names, and then I wrote down "this match sucked" before the match even started.
Oh, like your Gene Dixon?
Yeah. And I wouldn't have wrote anything more, but the fucking crowd had to start "go, Mike, go."
A little bit.
Yeah, it was it wasn't that loud, but still.
No, it was there.
This guy who is basically the lowest of the low now, even lower than Mike Bond. He's the number two Mike, no, actually number three Mike, if you count Mike Von Erich, who's kind of somewhere in the background.
who occasionally shows up and waves at the crowd because he's still a child.
Exactly. So this guy, Mike Reed, the lowest of low, still elicits sympathy from the so ever forgiving Sportatorium crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make a note of that he got a go, my go chant. Unbelievable. Otherwise, yes, this match sucked. Johnny?
Well, there was a clothesline that missed by a mile, and it's impossible to tell who's.
Too.
It's impossible to tell if it was the fault of the cameraman's angle, the Mongol just because he sucks, or Mike Reed just bumping at the wrong time, but you caught it. And then the fucking Mongol hits the worst power slam ever to fucking finish.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And then they show a slow-mo replay of it. Again, I start questioning. I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing watching this fucking shit? And then my prayers are answered.
Yes, because the main event is a penalty box match.
Yes.
With complicated rules. So yes. That can only mean... Mm-hmm. One thing. David Manning has to explain said complicated rules.
With a graphic leading into commercial that says, "What is the what's the toughest difficult hold to break?" Next, David Manning tells us. And I'm thinking, read that as Frank Gorshin. It's a Riddler.
yeah.
Just at least the first part of it. It's like Frank Gorshin, the Riddler. What's the toughest difficult hold to break? But for David Manning, and then it comes back, and David Manning is behind bars where he deserves to be. He is in a little fucking cage, and... and he says... It's the hold that the penalty box will have on you if you break the rules in a penalty box match. But I'm just tickled that he's in a fucking cage because I'm like, oh, this is I'm going to have to edit my jokes here. There's going to be a page of stuff here. And, oh, boy. You know what? I thought, you know, put Chief J. Strongbow in there with him. He knows how to fuck somebody up in a tiny cage.
Yes. <That's... laughs> Good callback, Johnny.
Thank you. That's, yeah. And I'm like, fuck him. And so then... They're pointing out the convoluted rules about guys ending up in the cage. You break the rule, break a rule once that, you know, the, you got to go in for 2 minutes and then do it this, you get three, 2 minutes, 1 minute. I don't know.
That's so stupid. And,
but apparently you can, all three guys could be in the cage at once, apparently, technically. So, Bill points this out to him. Bill says, oh, what would happen if all three of them were in the cage? And he goes, well, see, he's still behind bars. And with a mustache like that, you know he's done something wrong. And he deserves to be behind bars. And he goes, well, I guess if all three were in, it'd have to be a forfeit. And then Bill turns to the camera and grins like a motherfucker, like, got him. Nuts. And... this isn't his first time in a cage, I'm just saying. And then he says, oh, you can let me out now. And Bill decides to fuck with him. And so now suddenly I love Bill Mercer. And see, I forgive everything about Bill Mercer because he fucks with him right here. He's like, you can let me out now. He goes, oh, that's okay. He's like, come on, let me out. He goes, say please, bitch. Oh, please. Oh, okay. And he lets him out and then does that shit-eating grin at the camera like, and he made David Manning beg like a little bitch. Or scream. He was scared. I've been in one of these before. I remember my first night as a fresh fish. You know, I got to get out of this cage.
The complicated psychological state of David Manning on display here. Yeah, that was something. But this is a big main event.
Oh.
Penalty box match.
It's something.
Look at the talent involved. We've got the complete Freebirds team here against
in the powder blue and white.
Yes,
Freebirds gear that I was always a fan of. I like that.
Yeah. Comic. Yeah, it's nice matching trunks with the writing on the back. Mm-hmm. Very cool. The baby faces consist of a returning Kerry Von Erich from a successful tour of Japan.
Oh, yes. By the way, we didn't talk about that. They pointed out that very successful tour of Japan, but it was all in non-specifics. Like, where Kerry's involved in the tournament in Japan, and all reports say he's doing great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see who he went up against during that tour. 83, early 83. I'll look that up. Yeah, it's been a while. We haven't seen Kerry in a while, it seems like. And he's teamed with the Iceman and also Chavo Guerrero. So that's a pretty strong babyface.
Dude, I wrote down. Yeah, exactly. I wrote down, that's a team. When I wrote the names down, I'm like, damn, that's
tough. Yeah. Yeah. So good talent, and this was a pretty good match, and yeah, it was long too. One of the longer main events we've got. It must have been over 20 minutes, and it must have been really hot also in the sportatorium that night, because all six men are sweating profusely, and not even too far into the match. Hayes looks like he just got out of the shower. He's just drenched. Anyway,
or you just got done with a drive, you know. That's a golden shower. That's a golden shower. Freebird golden shower.
Very long shine, as usual, for the baby faces. And the heat is on Hayes for avoiding any action. That's become his role as a heel. He's in. He's great playing that. And that's what the fans want to see. He's the one that, you know, screwed Kerry over in the cage, and so he's the one that the fans really want to see get murdered. And, of course, the Birds take control through cheating, and then we get penalties starting to be handed out here. Gordy is penalized for striking Kevin from the apron, and then Hayes is penalized right after it. So they have established the two in the cage right off the bat. Buddy's in, up against three guys, and then later on we got Iceman playing face in peril for quite a while, and the crowd just loves Iceman. He's so over. Big Go King Go chant. And then more penalties. Kerry's penalized for I don't know what.
You think they tried Go Iceman Go and realized no, doesn't work.
No,
Go King. That works.
Yeah, that's true. King is perfect for a chant. And Iceman's penalized. And Buddy's penalized. Huge hot tag to Kerry. And here's my note about the heat situation in the sportatorium. All action match.
Let me tell you something. It was we had that crowd. It was so hot. The heat was so hot from our match. It literally got hot in the sportatorium. I don't know whose accent I'm even doing right there, but
it sounds like something Michael Hayes would try to pass off.
I do the doot thing, but that's kind of like that's Pritchard's thing. I'm not gonna rip
him off. No, but yes, it was so hot that the fucking walls were melting that night. Yeah, really all action match. No dead spots at all. So it was really good. And then the good guys win. Iceman gets a pin out of nowhere on Gordy. And the heels get a bit of heat back at the end. But then Chavo cleans house with the chair. Well, Kerry does get laid out, and that's how it ends.
Yeah, Spike Piledriver.
And Kerry's still basically motionless on the canvas when we cut away. So, yeah, I mean, the booking is so good. You have heels losing, but it doesn't matter because they get their heat back at the end. Because
they just fucking gave Kerry Von Erich. Welcome back! Boom!
Yeah, it's great seeing this week to week and how... You know the legend of this feud and how it goes on for so long, and you wonder, when you think about wrestling today, you just can't comprehend it, really. It's totally different. But to see it play out week after week here, you understand how, they had to do all kinds of twists and turns in the feud and different combinations and everything, and it all works. You're not getting tired of it yet. There's still so much left to come. Yeah, I really like this match. Johnny?
Oh, yeah. And we sort of touched on this last show after the Kevin Von Erich, Ric Flair State Fair match. They're promoting that match more now after it happened than they did to promote it happening. Because he says, from my lips to Bill Mercer's, from my thoughts to Bill Mercer's lips, whatever, he's like, well, I guess now you could say that Kevin is also the uncrowned world champion. I was like, fuck yo, that's Fritz. Fritz is lining them up. All of that's the famous Fritz quote. It's like, oh, someday, all my boys will be world champion. All of them. Every goddamn one of them is going to be a world champion. So now he's like, got two in the hole now.
Yeah.
He could, So that when you get to when they start saying that shit about Mike is when you're really like okay, but leaving out David too.
Yeah, well, David eventually will get his turn.
Yeah.
But they're building the next Star Wars card, which is coming up in June, and it's I think Mercer already mentioned it specifically.
It's Kevin.
So that's going to be Kevin getting his rematch, and yeah. So we got a supercard on the horizon.
That's nice.
Two to look forward to.
That's nice. A Gordy bumping for Chavo looked awesome. It's when the power of it's a mixture of the power of disbelief and great performing, because Chavo's a smaller guy. Terry Gordy's a monster. And they're doing shoulder blocks and shit. And Gordy's bumping like a pinball for Chavo. And it looks fucking great. It looks amazing. It's completely convincing. Maybe it's because of Chavo's muscular shoulders that Bill Mercer constantly points out. Just look at the shoulders on Chavo Guerrero. Manning, not Manning. Maybe Manning is too. But Mercer is a shoulders man. And so speaking of Manning, you know, at one point he's got to, like, because he's going to be controlling the jail. I control the jail now, motherfucker. I put you behind bars. And he runs in the ring sometimes to pull the guy out and put him in the jail. But I'll give David Manning credit. That's because the referee, Renesto, I'm sorry, that's not Renesto. I can't think of this guy's name. He was losing track because this is very confusing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So Manning, to his credit, is figuring out. Remember, I'm sure he's timing the times of letting him in and out because they're just going in. It is fascinating because the time spent in the penalty boxes, for the most part, didn't have really any impact on the flow of the match. There weren't long stretches. There was like one long stretch where Iceman was on his own, and it was like 3 minutes long, maybe four. And everything else was just back and forth. There was popping in and out of those cages. And so it was fun. I was enjoying the match. There was chaos. It was sweaty. And, you know, the Iceman, they just start breaking the rules. Iceman's like a recidivist. He gets in the cage. He gets out. He immediately breaks a rule. Got to go back in. What did I do? He's like, oh, he's been institutionalized, like Red Point would say. And I just know it's nuts. You got Guerrero in the cage, and Hayes is in the cage, and Carey's in the cage, and there's that. Chavo's arguing, don't put me in this fucking cage. Hayes smashes fucking David Manning, knocks him on his ass. Yeah. Iceman wins, and I was fucking like, I enjoyed the fuck out of this. You know, I thought it was just a wild ride, and I thought it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, super entertaining. Just nonstop action. Yeah, the penalty box thing didn't really... You could have had the same match almost without it.
It
added some extra drama. Yeah. With guys, like, running back up to the apron to make a tag after getting out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen, like, one or two of them TNA penalty box matches and everything, but you want to see a good, quote-unquote, penalty box match, watch this. This is a fucking stone blast with a super hot crowd.
Yeah, yeah. The main events lately have been all really good. Yeah, this show is just a breeze to watch now. It's really good stuff. And I'm just, you know, like I said, I just love to see this week after week. You know, I know the big, you know, check mark points coming up, but I don't know, you know, so much, you know, that I don't know. And so I'm just really anticipating every week, because every week something new, something different, and we got great talent in the territory now, and it's just, yeah, this is a cool show, and it's really great to see it turn around from 1982 so quickly. It's still unbelievable to me. Great stuff. And next week we get Jose Lothario versus Kamala.
Yeah, I know.
Which could be really good.
I was excited when I saw that, because, dude, oh, by the way, there was an interview with Chris Adams, and you didn't remember that because that's how great Chris Adams is on the... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I wrote that down. I wrote down there was an interview with Adams. Like, I don't remember that.
Yes, that's next week.
It's next week. Got it. Yeah.
Sounds like a big, like, profile piece.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait. I cannot wait, because it's going to be babyface Chris Adams. That might be, it might be very awkward and fun.
Yes. I'm hoping that it is.
Maybe they'll go to the water park and go on the water slide. Work for Bugsy.
Let's, oh, my God.
Do it with Chris.
Let's, introduce him to Texas. Anyway, yeah, another fun show to review.
Yep.
And yeah, this territory is really hot. So, Johnny, anything to plug?
I watched this last night. It was on HBO. It's the new Pete Holmes stand-up special.
Oh yeah.
And I laughed so hard at one point, my knees buckled. Tears in my eyes. It's outstanding. So check it out. You know, however you can, but it's definitely worth a watch. Tears in my eyes. It's so funny. Pete Holmes is amazing.
Cool. Yeah, we're more than just wrestling nerds. We
comedy nerds too.
Comedy nerds, comic book nerds, all kinds of nerds. Yeah.
Star Trek. Yeah,
over here. Oh yes, yeah. You're being a Star Trek.
Yeah. Ladies, to all the ladies listening, you know, please leave your panties on. Kelly's a married man. You know, just call me. You can get in touch with me, but you know, just.
Well, nerds are in certain circle. Nerds are cool these days, so You never know. Well, hopefully Pete's recuperated for next week. He's probably got the imprints of some DVDs on his back and his forehead, maybe. And you know, it'll take time. Hopefully, Will
is Chunk from the Goonies right now, but he's getting better.
He'll be back. You'll be back in the seat. I hear when he during his recuperation period that he accidentally skipped ahead and watched some episodes, future episodes of World Class. So he's ahead of us. He knows a few things that we don't, but who knows? You know, he'll be fine. Anyway, let's call it a night. And yes, we will be back. The fabulous Freebirds will be reunited next week on WorldCast. Good night, everybody.
Sadly, though, our Terry Gordy Pete just suffered brain damage. He's not going to be the same Terry Gordy he used to be. Wink, wink.
Oh, no.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.